Welcome to the Dastan Goy podcast, a collective exploration of Pakistani history and culture.
In this episode of Dastan Goy podcast, I get to sit down with Maheen Sohail, the founder of Fake ID podcast and Rangeen Pakistan. So let's get straight to her story. Maheen, thank you so much for being with us on the Dastan Goy podcast. I really appreciate you taking out the time and joining us on this early morning of yours. To kind of start off, I'd love to hear a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today and how you started your project. And then we'll kind of continue on from there.
Sounds great. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me on Dastan Goy. So my name is Maheen Sohail. Currently, I'm a product designer at Facebook working on artificial intelligence. But my journey started in Pakistan. I was born in England, but then I was raised in Pakistan. So from about age 5 to 16, I went to high school there. Lost my British accent and picked up my Pakistani accent, and that whole shebang happened. Kind of unfortunate, you know, but it is what it is. And over there, I was fortunate enough to have parents who really focus on developing skills in kids that are actually kind of unique. I don't see many Pakistani kids developing them. A lot of it was around public speaking. Mm-hmm. So I was on the stage when I was like age 7 talking about like why the war in Iraq is terrible and sons are not the only treasure. And so I started developing a lot of my my personality traits at that really young age in Pakistan. That's it was awesome. Very transformative for me. So that's the one thing I say is like, if you teach your things anything, it like put them in public speaking.
I could not agree more. It's so difficult to kind of even open your mouth. I mean, like even doing podcasting, like every once in a while, I'm just like, I don't know what to say. And even no matter how much research you do, like you get that stage fright.
Yeah, exactly. So it's incredibly like a blessing that I think I'm really grateful that I developed as a kid. And it took me to many parts in my life in the future. So then anyway, I grew up in Pakistan. And then when I was 16, I moved to Canada to finish off high school. And during that time, I was starting to delve into videography. So when I was in Pakistan in my last year, I had started making videos about Lahore. And then when I moved to Waterloo in Canada. Nice. One of the biggest earthquakes in Pakistan happened around that time. I can't remember exact year. I think it was like 2011 or 2012. But I was just so heartbroken because I grew up there and now I was overseas and like everyone I knew was back home and I couldn't do anything to help. So I started making a lot of fundraising videos for Pakistan. And that kind of like kicked off my interest in videography.
Awesome.
And I started running a lot of fundraisers in Canada, and that kind of led one thing to another. I started making documentaries about kids who come to these foreign countries from war-torn countries or kids who come with no English background and how do they assimilate into this culture, and getting the other side, like the teachers who don't come from that background, to understand the struggles. So I started making documentaries for a lot of these kinds of causes. And I kind of like realized that I love storytelling and I'm going to go into becoming a videographer. And then I went to university and I realized film school is very expensive. And it's a place where you make mostly connections
with
the industry. Exactly, with every school. So I decided I'll just do like a general bachelor's. I moved cities. I came to Vancouver. And then I started learning a lot of different initiatives. I started learning graphic design, videography, coding, a lot of like mechanical and industrial design, and business. I started doing a minor in business with that. And I started getting involved in a lot of initiatives. So around that time, I also met up with another Pakistani who was here, and we started an international NGO called LETS. So it stands for Learn, Empower, Transform, and Solve. And the whole concept was we wanted to change the way education systems worked and the types of things that are taught. And so our first focus was on Pakistan. We developed some new tablets and experiences that enable us to send free books and free Wi-Fi to remote villages in both Nigeria and Pakistan and build schools and stuff. So we started doing that whole thing. It was an incredible experience, but I was just in university and I started I felt like I needed to focus on my education before jumping deeply into this realm. But it's something I'm really passionate about. And everything in my life sort of right now is to train to go back into that space. Anyway, so then I was in university, came across this sort of new career that was emerging called user experience design. And if you work in tech, you're familiar with what that is, but essentially it's really thinking deeply about how people interact with the world and the experiences around us and designing for them rather than designing for the business. So I started going into that, really loved it because it was a combination of all my skills rather than just filmmaking. And then I worked at Electronic Arts, worked on FIFA and a couple of other games. After that, I went to Facebook, started working in virtual reality, and then graduated. And then I took a break for a bit. I went to Italy and started interviewing architects. I was there for like 3-4 months, interviewed architects. And then I came back and then I went back to Facebook, yada, yada, yada. And now, after all of that, after having experimented so much, I am at the stage where career-wise, I'm really happy with where I'm at. I've developed all the experiences. I'm working in future tech. I love future technology. And I work very closely with Pakistan. Last year, we launched an innovation lab in Lums, Lahore.
Nice.
And it was the first innovation lab of its kind in Pakistan. And the whole idea was I wanted to install headsets, Oculus headsets in the university, so entrepreneurs and local students could go learn about VR. And so I've been very involved in mentorship and connecting people in Pakistan to the resources in these technologies abroad to sort of knowledge share. So that all I'm really happy with, but there's this big looming question for me, which is I have this whole other creative side of videography, of sharing people's stories, something that I did a long time ago when I first moved to Canada. And I kind of lost that over the time because you get soaked into this corporate ladder and wanting to learn these skills and do stuff for yourself. So I've been experimenting a lot with different initiatives that can enable me to tell my story, enable me to tell other people's story, enable me to experiment and just learn about what are my forms of expression outside of this tech world.
Yeah.
And that's why I started Rangin Pakistan, Fake ID, and then the Japan Design Guide. And that's a long story about me.
That's a lot. I love the fact that exactly what we were talking about before we started recording, which is about experimenting and about finding your kind of true north, right? Like there are things that you did early on in your career and early on in your life and then later on in your life, and you're figuring out how everything kind of comes together. And like you said, there's so many different things that you are doing with Fake ID Podcast, with Rangin Pakistan. How do you shift time focus among them?
Mm-hmm.
Where do the topics kind of come about for, because I would assume the stuff that you do with Fake ID or what you have planned for Fake ID has the identity question, having spent time across England, Pakistan, Canada, the US,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that this question comes about, you know, this main identity, kind of figuring out who you are. And then people tend to kind of silo you into like, oh, you're a Muslim or you're not Muslim. Oh, you're Pakistan, or you're this.
You're a bad Muslim or you're not a Muslim because you do X, Y, Z.
Like, exactly. And how do you kind of, you know, frame yourself outside of that? Because at the essence of it, they're just labels that people put to kind of put you in a box, right?
Yep.
And it's really not fair because you're coming from a place where you're looking at me as the other, but you haven't really taken the time to kind of understand me. But the reason that I asked this and the tangent that I'm going in is in the perspective of Rangin Pakistan, for instance, where a lot of it is historical, these images that you're taking, these icons that you're taking, and you're so beautifully breaking them into videos. that showcases, and I mean, this is valid for me as well, right? Like, as we launched Dastangoi, like, we're doing research into things that we didn't necessarily know about, but they help shape our own identity.
Exactly. Right?
And it's helping me learn so much more. And the way you're going about this is for me really fascinating, because one, you're doing it in a global perspective of not just diaspora, but identity in general.
Yep.
And then you're kind of zoning in on Pakistan with Rangin Pakistan in another unique way. So I'd love to kind of hear about how you...
There's a pretty interesting story behind it. So basically, I do a lot of public speaking and I want to mentor people. So 2 years ago, I was doing a lot of public speaking about designing for VR, AR, future tech. And I had this feeling where I would get off the stage, and I love public speaking. Like, this is something I enjoy. And I would get off the stage and I wouldn't feel proud of what I had just done, even though everyone was like, oh, wow, like, thank you. Like, I'd love to talk to you later. But I was just not happy with what I was delivering. And so I decided to lean into that. I was like, why am I spending so much time going on these stages, talking about these things that I do like, but maybe this isn't what I want to do. Maybe this isn't the message I want to tell the world. And so the big overlooming question was like, okay, what is the message I want to tell the world? And so I thought about it, caused a lot of anxiety. It's like, oh my God, I know I want to do something. I want to do something big, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. And my mom, she's a therapist. So she was like,
brilliant.
She was like, you got to take one step at a time, and you can't just expect something to come right away. You just have to wait it out and something will emerge. If you have that thought and idea and that passion, something will emerge. And that's what happened. So I was going through life and I was actually put on a really interesting project over at Facebook. So Oculus VR, you know, virtual reality, it's a headset in which you can be anything and anyone you want. And I started working on identity systems. If you can be anything and anyone you want, how do you preserve your safety? What is your identity in VR? Can you have multiple identities? What makes up an identity? And through research, I started learning, you know, people think that your identity is your skin color and your name and, you know, maybe what country you're from. But identity is so much more than that. Identity is your interests. It's your beliefs. It's your values. It's the people you hang out with. It's the things that you enjoy. And I started thinking a lot about that, and it resonated a lot with me. Growing up in Pakistan, I was like this nerd who was really into anime and video gaming and Japan from a young age, and nobody understood why. And I was always viewed as like, oh, you love Pakistan, but look at her, she also loves Japan. And like, that's kind of weird. But it's not weird. I'm a global person. I love Pakistan to a passion, to a really like patriotic level. But then I also like other places, and that's okay. You can't decide.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I started reflecting on how that happened at many times in my life, right? Like, you're not a good enough Muslim, or if you're from a different sect, you're not Muslim. Or if I am a VR designer, but maybe I'm not the best at 3D, I can't be a VR designer. That's not true. I bring many other skills to the table. So there's like all these things that I started realizing values that people expect you to be in terms of identity and what you actually are and how in contrast they become, which cause these siloed groups. And so I thought to myself, if I had someone telling me their stories of how they figured out their identity growing up, man, would that have been helpful for me? And I also read this incredible quote that said, never be too sure and confident of who you are, because something or someone will come at your way and it will break down everything that you know and stand for in terms of identity. And that's happened to me many times, especially in the last few years. And so, yeah, Fake ID came about. It's probably my most important project, and I've been really focusing a lot on that, and I'm going to launch it all together at the end of the year. But the whole concept behind Fake ID is there are many identities we hold that we love and that we hate. You might be being something today that you don't like, or in the past you were something that you didn't like, and you've changed it over time. You might be trying to become something, but you're not there right now. And there's a lot of interesting things I'm learning from the people around that I'm interviewing who tell me the struggles that they had trying to be themselves, but also trying to appease society. and how that led to issues in their life, or how it's led them to be who the wonderful person they are today. So it's just sharing stories of that.
It's a consistent struggle, right? Like, there's a couple of things that kind of stood out for me when you were saying that. One, the idea of how society looks at identity, right? You can take the bare bones form of a driver's license, right? It's your eye color, it's your sex, it's where you were born, for instance, your passport. Like, that's what to the world, quote unquote, that's who you are. But really, you're not. No one individual is the same as the other individual because of the experiences, because of the places that you kind of grow up in. And I think in the age that we're in today, that's something that's specific knowledge. That for me is something that I can leverage on you. Because what I bring to the table is not necessarily what you would, given the same kind of educational background. But my experiences would be much more different than yours, and yours mine. So we both have a unique perspective to even any job. Like, for instance, in hedge funds, a lot of the people that they hire are engineers, have nothing to do with finance, but they're, because of the way that their mind works or because of their experiences, they're willing to hire that. So that in itself for me is fascinating, because I truly believe that people who bring different experiences from the ones that you've had add value. I don't think that's something to be scared of. I think that's exactly something to be cherished.
And that's true for every single thing, right? If you even go into tech, you could have 50 engineers from Toronto, Canada, working on the same product, but you will not build a good product if you don't have diverse and unique perspectives.
If you don't have a guy with a philosophical background or a psychology background, which is essential, right? Like, human psychology, something that you do with user experience, if you don't know how people interact, how people will kind of look at a product and interact with color or with different experiences, you will not create a successful product, because you are not talking to the person who at the end of the day be using your product. So it's that is fascinating for me. And then the second thing that kind of came to my mind was something that my brother says. I actually heard him say that in a meeting once, where he was like, the thing that I want to achieve in my life is be able to have my heart, my mind, and my tongue align. Mm-hmm. And like, when you think about that, it's not as deep. But then when you actually like take a second, when your heart, your mind, and your tongue are aligned, that means whatever you're thinking, whatever you're saying, and whatever you're feeling is like in one go. That for me is happiness. That for me is what I want to achieve. And a lot of the times, if you're truthful, there's only a handful of times where you will feel that way and you'll achieve that. Because a lot of the times you're like, oh, society's going to think this, so I have to say this to feel like I'm being the person that people want to perceive.
Exactly. Right. And you asked, like, how do I balance the time between this, Rangin Pakistan, and other initiatives? When what you just said happens, when your heart, your mind, and your tongue align, it doesn't feel like work. Yeah. It feels like something you want to do. It's like, no, I'd actually rather do this than go out for coffee today. I'd rather do it together. It's just play. And it's so important to be able to, if you're the type of person who loves creating, it's so important to do this so that you can feel that you're a doer. That's really important to me, because it's really easy to get carried away as a talker, as someone who says you want to do all these things, but it's the actions that show it. And that's really, really key. In terms of how this relates to Rangin Pakistan, so Fake ID is all about identity, and it is my main project. And Rangin Pakistan, it started for a couple of reasons. One, it does help me dive deeper into my identity, learning more about Pakistan, being more in touch with the culture and the country there. I go every year, but you know, that's definitely a great part. But Pakistan, to be very honest, is split in these dichotomies of becoming too westernized or ignoring some of the realities around them. And not being in Pakistan all the time, I see that divide very clearly. And so Rangin Pakistan allows me to be more in touch with the stories of the past and understand how the country has shaped over time. But another reason I actually started it was I had just joined the artificial intelligence team at Facebook, and I needed to learn about AI models. And what better way to learn about technology than to start a side project where I could practice it? And so that's kind of where it stemmed from.
Awesome. One thing that I'd be curious, I mean, it might be a stupid question, but I want to ask you this anyways, but what is the importance of adding color for you? How has that, I mean, because there's just the advent of adding color, but then there is that, the philosophical element of your adding color to something that is a piece of time that has been preserved in black and white, but then now you're reinvigorating it with color. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think, so first of all, I think the black and white footage has its own value. It's not meant to replace it, right? Yeah. There is something really serene about how old it looks and how it gives you a sense of time. The color, I found that, one, it brings a lot of attention to it. When you compare the black and white version to the colored version, you just start to get new pieces of information with the color. And it's really weird how it works. Every time I'm like starting with a black and white photo and then I add color to it and I start tweaking it, all of a sudden I'm like gaining new pieces of information. For example, there is this march happening. Around this time, what was the event that happened? Around this time period or in this event, if this was the goal, what would be the colors? What would be the flags are in this area and what are the colors? And what would people be wearing? And what were the cars like in that time? And what kind of colors were those cars? All of these things tell different narratives that the black and white image loses. And so for me, that's a really fascinating part of converting the colors. I converted a photo of my mom and I had guessed the colors just based on like what I thought was popular at that time. And she was like, oh my God, this is insane. How did you know? It was like a red dress. And I was like, I don't know. I think you've told me you had red dresses when you were younger, but it lit her up as well. Like she was taken back in time in a way that the black and white photo couldn't take her back. And so they're just new moments of delight is how I would phrase it.
I love it. I mean, that's what I wanted to kind of understand, because I mean, people sometimes just take color for color, but then there are so many different elements that kind of go in with it that we kind of overlook.
There's this movie. Have you seen this movie? I can't remember the name, but it's basically like the whole movie. It's a Hollywood movie. It's all in black and white. And they realize how awful the world is because it's black and white. And they start seeing these colors appear in flowers and fruits. And then in the end, they start seeing colors in people, skin tones. And they start realizing that even though we're all different, we're all the same lovely people, and look at how beautiful the world is. So I always think of that movie when I do Rangoon, Pakistan.
If you find that movie, I would love to watch it. Please do send it. It doesn't ring a bell.
I'll send it.
It sounds great. It is, two more things. One, if you could tell me about what are some of the stories, or what is one story that you grew up with when you were in Pakistan that has resonated with you until today that you keep with you? And two, the last question would be, how do you unpack Pakistan today with everything that you know and your experiences in and out of Pakistan for someone who has never been to Pakistan? Mm-hmm.
A story from Pakistan. There's so many. a lot of stories of my grandfather, you know, the classic, how he didn't have anything and worked really hard to become a lawyer. And in that effort, you know, he was studying under lampshades and his daytime job at the railway, and then became this lawyer and became this big person with all this money, and then started getting into some questionable habits and then lost all of it. And so my mom saw that rise and fall happen. And so the thing that stuck with me through that experience that my mom learned and what she taught me over time was to always stay grounded. Yes, you have this job at Facebook, and yes, you're like living in America, and yes, you have all these blessings, but all of this can be taken away tomorrow. And so that's kind of how I live life, is I am very aware of the fact that a lot of these were being at the right time, the right place, and that I need to share this and not just keep it for myself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the story that really resonates with me. And when it comes to Pakistan, one thing that I've realized through my experiences in Pakistan and living here is that Pakistani people are two things. very resilient and very creative. There is an insane amount of talent, but a really huge lack of resources. Like my friend studied the same thing as I did, and yet, you know, look at the experiences I'm working on, and their talent might be more than mine, and they don't have those opportunities. And it's only because of the lack of resources. So insane amount of talent, maybe more than I'm aware of in the West, and really, really passionate about ensuring that, you know, we change that. And the second thing is resilience. People in Pakistan, they go through some really, really tough times, you know. I mean, we have the world's worst pollution or like air quality, right? And I've never heard people complain about it once until there was a forest fire in California and everyone's like, this is the worst. And you realize Pakistanis are so resilient. Like they go through so much. And yet at the end of the day, they're smiling. They're meeting over tea. Kids in the streets, people at home with not much to live off of. And I grew up all around that. I don't come from a very well-off background. And so I'm very grateful for those experiences that I got to experience and to see and to know that when things are tough in my life, that this is nothing, that I need to be resilient because the lineage that I come from, they're all extremely resilient. So I would say Pakistan's a very strong country in that sense.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram and YouTube for more stories. You can get in touch with us via email contact.dastangoy@gmail.com. Until next time, thank you, shukriya, meherbani, khudafiz.